Well, I better lighten this up a little bit to start with because Carol's nervous. And I got nervous too because I saw Jeff walk in and I thought Carrie was going to walk in. She was one of two people who asked me. I didn't look at anybody today. What happened to your eye? And it was the day before we were giving our testimonies, and Carol did not hit me. But I would like, I mean, I was hoping Dan would be here because he could appreciate it. I didn't fall off a roof either. I'm not going to tell you what happened. I mean, you're not close enough to carry, so. And I was glad to see Rob come in today because as he came to our church and he was, brought Graham along and the other two and his wife, and Graham's a little older now, and he's beginning to know what's happening. And he sees his grandpa doing things with silver plates, passing them by, and he sees his mom and grandma up there singing, and his grandpa leading singing, and he always says, what does that mean? What does that have to do? And so Rob tells him. And then he saw Pastor do exactly what I'm going to do now. You know, Pastor's got this thing about watches. So I'm putting it up here so Carol doesn't go overtime. Because I know where the food is too. He said, well, and so Graham said, now what does that mean? And Rob says, absolutely nothing. So what we're going to do, we're going to go through. You believe in miracles? Good. Because how do you get 80 years of your life almost into this time? That was tough. And that's just my life. She's not 80 yet. I'm not either, though. Got that, Lise? Okay. We're going to split up a little bit what we're going to do today. We're going to tell a little bit about before we were married, each one of us. And I'm not going to try to overlap in what she does. I mean, we don't even know what each other's going to talk about completely. I said I won't infringe on her stuff, though. But I did entitle this AM and PM. After marriage, or before marriage, and after marriage. Okay? Most of you know, I believe, well, many of you know, most of you may not, that I am adopted. Truly adopted, not just by Jesus. I mean, I was adopted physically. I don't remember much about it. I was 10 years old, or 10 days old, so I don't know much about it. I do know this, that a lot of people say, do you ever want to meet your parents or something like that? And I said, I know my parents. And now as I think about it, if God adopted us and he's our father, then my mother and dad, who were my adopted parents, have always been my mom and dad too. And I've always looked at it that way, and I've never had a hang up with it. I've never wondered who my other ones were. I do know one thing, I was not abandoned. And it's a good chance they may have been Christian people. But November 30th, 1936, I was born in Chicago, Illinois. You can do the math. Largest hospital in the United States, I believe, at that time, Cook County. And there was a family in Kalamazoo, a nurse and an engineer with a five-year-old daughter that the mother almost died during childbirth with my sister, but she survived. But they wanted another person, so I was the fortunate one. And therefore, I was chosen. They took, you got what you got coming, okay? So my folks chose me. I've had eye problems all my life. Fortunately, this is the eye that doesn't look good anyway. So God is good. I went to Upjohn School in Kalamazoo. I don't remember if I went kindergarten. Carol knows all that kind of stuff. I can't remember all the details. But I know I went at least first and second grade, which was a school for physically handicapped people. And because I was in that, it was not a small school, but it was a one-room school in some subjects, like in math. And as a one in first and second grader, I was listening to the sixth grade lessons. And I could long divide by second grade just by listening. And I was, and that has paid off because I ended up being a math teacher sometimes. And so that all God had all that planned out. I went to elementary and junior high school at third through ninth grade at Woodward Elementary. I started piano when I was age 7. Started clarinet age 9. Some people say, how do you hit all those keys? I guess. That's not true. My mom and dad, I know I thanked them, but I just lately, you know, they've gone to heaven several years ago. And I wish I could thank them because they were people who saw to it that my sister and I not only got good things as far as training, we got the best. And as I think of I had lessons all the way up through 11th grade on piano and all the way through 12th grade on clarinet. And get a good job, but it's still a sacrifice. They could have done other things. And so music's always been a big part. Also involved in sports in junior high, church activities. There's a camp in Long Lake area near Gun Lake, which is Camp Mishawana. I started there in ninth grade, and it was started by the guy who started Awana in Wisconsin, Lance B. Latham, but he started camps too. And I was brought up in there. I went all the way through high school in that. Also was a cabin kitchen helper and counselor at times. Had good church to go to, Calvary Bible, which was IFCA, which is, at that time, you wouldn't know the difference between that and a Baptist church. Just a few different things that they I think you can become members maybe without being baptized, et cetera, but it was very similar. The doctrine, same. In ninth grade, I tried out and became a member of the Kalamazoo Junior Symphony, which is an outstanding junior symphony, and did that through high school. Went to Kalamazoo Central, graduated in 54. Of course, I was very involved with the band program, Youth for Christ. Back in those days, we had opportunities to serve Christ with our musical talents. I mean, it was unbelievable. And myriads of young people played piano. And we were used our instruments, okay? So I was a member of the chorale at YFC, and I was a pianist there. I know that during the high school days, I had two real good friends. And one lived next door to me, and the other one was played clarinet next to me in band. And as I look back on now, I didn't realize it, but I guess my life had an effect upon Dick. And he says, if it wasn't for me and a couple other guys, he probably would not be saved. I did not know that until recently. And by the way, all this, anything we say, we want the glory to go to God. It's nothing on us. The older we get, the more we know that. It's nothing, because we failed him so much. College, I went to Michigan State, 1954 to 1959. I went into engineering and switched to music. I was in the Michigan State Marching Band for 4 years and the Symphonic Band for 5 years. I was active, very active in Trinity Church there, which was like a Bible church also. It was just a new church, but it was fairly large, and was a member of the InterVarsity. One of the highlights of that was an Urbana conference I went to in Illinois. And I'm saying all this, I've been very blessed with things in the Christian realm. As far as salvation, I would now say I was saved at quite a young age. There was a time in my life when I doubted that, and I made sure of it. But now, as I've grown in the Lord the last, especially since coming here and reading his word, I think I was saved. But now I made sure of it. Graduated in 1959. Student taught at before that in Ottawa Hills High and Ottawa High in Grand Rapids. Got a bachelor's degree in music education, minors in clarinet performance and music theory. including music arranging. And now you know a lot more about me than you did before. Because I don't know a lot about you either, so Pastor, get them.
Bob keeps moving this.
I know it, I know it. But you know that song, Jesus, I Come? Maybe I'm nervous.
I think he's the one. Well, I'm really thankful for my parents who loved the Lord and served him faithfully. My dad was always a deacon and an adult Sunday school teacher, and my mom taught Sunday school. Grew up at Bethel Baptist Church in Kalamazoo, and when I was a little girl, they had outgrown their little white church on the corner, and they were meeting in the Masonic Temple, which was a huge auditorium in Kalamazoo. And this one summer, we cooperated with Calvary Bible Church. We were Bethel Baptist Church and Calvary Bible Church were the two biggest fundamental Bible preaching on the ball churches. And so we cooperated with them. I was 8 years old, and I remember so clearly. We had daily vacation Bible school, and my brother and I had one brother, Gary, and we just did everything together. He was just 20 months younger. And I said to Gary, you know what? We're sinners, and we got to get saved. And to tell you the truth, I was 8 years old, a third grade, and that's why I have such a burden for kids about that age. You suddenly get thinking and you're putting together all that you've learned growing up in Sunday school. And I knew I needed to be saved. So we plan the last day of Bible school. We're going to go forward and get saved. And so we did. But you know, a bunch of kids went forward. And we were dealt with in a group. And I don't think I really prayed, you know. So, I don't know. I think, you know, if I had died, I'd have gone to heaven. Because as a little girl, I believed with all my heart and loved Jesus. But when I was about 13, I started really studying other people in church, how they prayed. And I thought, I'm missing something. I don't know what it is, but I'm missing something. And then one night after church, I just couldn't wait to get home. And I said, Mom, I'm not hungry tonight. And I just went upstairs to my room and got on my knees. And I talked to the Lord, really talked to him. And I just don't know if I'm saved. So just forgive me for all my sins and come into my heart. Save me. And I remember, I don't think I said it audibly, but I said something like this to the Lord. I've known all about you, but I didn't really know you. And now I know you. And that was just such a turning point because I had such a burden for my friends at school. I started inviting them to church, and some were saved. And as I look back on my school years from then on, I could name one kid from each year that got saved, either through my inviting, walking down the aisle with them, or inviting them to my house and leading them to the Lord. Anyway, I just praise the Lord. And I have just always had a burden for my kids. In June, we'll be having our 60th year reunion.
Oh, the anniversary.
Kids, I've lived a long time. And we're having a reunion. And I'm still burdened for those junior high kids mainly. I hope they're still alive. And I just pray for bravery that I will ask them if they have found peace with God after all these years. Anyway, that really began my prayer life and living for the Lord. Two verses that have just kind of guided me. They weren't drummed into my head or anything, but I picked up on 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And Paul preached this often in Colossians 3:17, says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. And that's how I lived all my life, trying to please the Lord and do what he wanted me to do. And another verse that nobody ever taught me, but I found, 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. So any of these bad habits out there, if they have any hint of evil, I abstain. And I recommend that. The Lord's kept me on a straight path living for him, and I'm just so grateful to him. So I graduated from high school with a real desire to serve the Lord. I was asked to play piano for a Sunday school meeting in a school gym, and to teach a Sunday school class. And this little Sunday school, all of a sudden we had 80 kids coming, and I would get on my bike with another college girl, and we'd go around the neighborhood and pass out flyers. And, you know, the parents started coming, and a couple more couples from Bethel Baptist Church came. My parents got burdened for the work, and they came. And so I became a charter member of Northeastern Baptist Church, which is one of the largest churches in Kalamazoo now. It was on our side of town where we lived. So that's where I began my teaching and playing for the Lord. My first job was in a doctor's office for 3.5 years, and then I went to Bob Jones University. We had a wonderful youth pastor from there, and he would tell me how wonderful and beautiful it was, and the most beautiful music. So after this period of time, I wanted some excitement, something different, and I always wanted to go to Bible school, but I had worked and saved my money. I had a brother right behind me, and I know my folks wanted him to go to college, so I just wanted to pay my own way. And I went for 1 year. And when they asked me what I wanted my major to be, I said, I want to get all the Bible and music I can get. Well, what kind of music? Well, piano. Well, then you ought to be a piano major. Oh, that's what I went into. But then I just did go for 1 year. And Bob married me anyway. But I just had 1 year of college. After my 1 year, then I worked at the Upjohn Company for a doctor in clinical research. And during that time, Bob was at home working on summer, a master's degree, I guess. But he had a new job in Pontiac, Michigan. And what? Oh, no. Well, anyway, well, we're not married yet. I'm going up to get married.
I didn't finish mine. I had to cut mine on time.
But at this time, Bob's family transferred from Calvary Bible to Bethel Baptist. And although I was at Northeastern Baptist, I did all the college activities, and my brother was at Bethel. And so he'd say, come on to the church ball games with me. I did, and that's where I got acquainted with Bob. I'd heard of him because of his music and Youth for Christ, but we got acquainted and had a wonderful summer, and I loved his family, and so I helped him type his... At Bob Jones, what was I doing? I was typing for the preacher boys. They heard I could type, and I had my typewriter. So, and now I'm typing for Bob. Anyway, I thought, I wonder if the God is going to use me in typing. And he really has. We got married. Most of our courtship was by mail because after the summer, he had to go back to Pontiac. And so, but anyway... We got married, and now it's his turn.
So now she took half of mine, so that's good, because time's almost, it's going to be up. I did marry her for a couple of reasons. Love was in there somewhere, but she was a good athlete. She could play piano and organ, and she knew how to type. And I did too, but not like she did. The older people remember those things. Not they're electric maybe by then. Crypers. Sounded just like a machine gun. And I turned in some very nice typewritten papers into college. You know those whiteout things that are on those ribbons? I'd wear them out after 5 days. And so it's not like a computer back in those days. But anyway, that's true. So as she mentioned, when I was in Pontiac, my first job, much of it, God gets a lot of glory for some things he did, because he's allowed me to do some things that really were a miracle. And I shouldn't have had the opportunity to start with. But he did. First of all, I graduated from state in December of 59. Well, jobs were a bit easier to get in teaching, but not band jobs. People don't leave in the middle of the year. But there were three openings in Pontiac because of something that happened there. And I had a job immediately. The Lord's, not that I would have dodged it. I'm not sure I would have even been able to have been accepted, but I went 1A during the service time at the age of 23 for a year, so unprotected. In Detroit, I probably would have gotten drafted. But in Kalamazoo, they were meeting the quota. And then I got a teacher deferment after that. So I didn't go to the service. But I'm not sure with my eyesight that I left out a couple little things. Until I lost sight in this eye, I had double vision most of my life. And if people would have found that out in service, I doubt too much whether I would have been accepted anyway. And you really didn't tell people that you were driving, that when you were driving, until after they were in the car, you were on the way. And so, by the way, I got double vision. Oh, that's no sweat. So it's no big deal. Lord has a great way of allowing us to live with our problems. And I've got the grace to live with you, live with that. He gives me that grace. He may not give that grace to you because you don't have to worry about it. And I think the older you get, the more you realize that God's got the grace that is unbelievable. I'm not sure what Carol's gonna do on this, but I just told her I'll do my part. I taught for the first 15 and a half years or 14 and a half in public schools. And I wanted to tell people here that they're your children. You know that. They're not the government's children. People like to tell you to think that. Some school systems would like you to think they're your children. I mean, they're their children, but they're not. They're your children. But I was a public school teacher for 15 or 14 and a half years. Pray for the Christian teachers. Holland's got a pretty good system compared to other places in the country as far as having a Christian influence in the schools. But as parents, may I urge you, if you've got your child in public school, and I know there's some that do, or in charter schools, check the curriculum, keep up with them. Pastor's going on field trips, I believe. That's wonderful. Go with the kids. And, there's some garbage being taught in schools now that we as Christians do not believe. It's completely against anything we've had or that we believe in. A Christian school teacher has a lot more trouble in the school than I did, because back in our day, we had cooperation and we could discipline and we could do things. I'm not sure I'd survive in knowing my temperament. I mean, it'd be tough. So pray for them. It's great that there are some good Christians in teaching public school. And they're making an impact upon our kids. That doesn't mean all Christian schools are perfect either, because they aren't. Because I taught in Christian schools for the rest of the 15 and a half to 16 years. Didn't have the problems that we had discipline-wise in public, but I mean, the hearts are the same. They're sinful. They're sinners in that church school. And so I've got a list of schools I went to, and I'll just name the ones I was in public school, and I'm not going to say anything about them except that in these schools, I taught maybe 2 years of math in Pontiac, but all the rest, I taught band and orchestra in junior high school. Took a high school job, you know, because every young guy out of college thinks that's a utopia. It's not all it's made out to be. High school bands, much more easy in the junior high and elementary. Much easier. Same with coaching. So we started out in Pontiac, and I had great church, First Baptist Church in Pontiac, First Baptist Church in Michigan. Dr. H.H. Savage was the pastor back then, very missionary-minded. His boys were both missionaries in Quito, Ecuador with HGDB. We already covered this because I met Carol after OK. And while we were living in Pontiac, I changed schools. Tough times have gone through there. We went through the Detroit riots. They went all the way up to Pontiac, right on the street we were at. I mean, we were on a five-lane road on Elizabeth Lake, and it was curfew at 9 o'clock. It's scary. And Dr. Martin Luther King was shot during those days. Kennedy was, I mean, just some horrendous times. Went to Ward Lake, which was probably one of the nicest places I taught at. Went to Comstock and went to Northeastern Baptist, as Carol mentioned. And then we moved in. A high school job came up my way. I grabbed it. Too bad. Edwardsburg, and then I ended up at Niles. A good Bible church there, Bertrand Bible Church. I knew many people there. I knew many of the guys. I led the choir in all these churches except for First Baptist. Had a handbell choir there. They had a tremendous graded choir program for the kids. It was a church like 1,200, so it's the largest church I've been a member of. We made some great friends there. We miss them. We still keep in touch with one in the Grand Rapids now. We're youth directors in Pontiac for the junior high group. Did some crazy things. It wasn't my idea nor my wife's, but we did some crazy things. We reserved Edgewater Park, which is an amusement park, for the night for an evangelistical outreach. There were no Christian schools except for maybe big ones like Holland Christian, but they were the smaller Christian. It was before those days. So these kids were in five public school junior hires in Pontiac and then Waterford and other areas in the surrounding area. And so we said, you get the kids. We didn't know they were going to get a total of 900 more. And here we were. We had chaperones, but we took them. And it's scary when I look back at that. But the Lord worked fantastic. We had a good youth speaker come in and had a good number of commitments that day to accept Jesus Christ. And these kids were real missionaries in their schools. So we have great things about that. Bertrand Bible Church in Niles area, we were members there for about 5 years, I believe. And great time, great, great people. Tremendous choir. There had men that sang, you could not believe it. And I had met them before. So it wasn't that I was looking for a church when I moved. I almost had my mind made up where I was going to go. Faith Baptist, Mattawan, is my first Christian school. Tremendous Christian school. It was about the same time homeschool started in the late early 70s, and that was just getting on board. Also, the ACE program, Accelerated Christian Ed, was. And there was a lot of concern about what kind of education they were getting, but Faith had it put together. And it was a good school, good athletic program, good art program. We had everything going for us. And so many public school people had a tremendous youth, junior high or high school choir. And it was nothing I really put together. I mean, I worked with them. But they're all from public schools, all been trained and ahead of me. And same with our athletic department, just outstanding. That's the only place I actually was a Sunday school teacher and a deacon. The other places I directed choirs, except for my first church and Calvary. But all the ones in between, I was a choir director, music chairman, et cetera, of the schools, or of the churches, I mean, sorry. Because of some of the accomplishments that these kids did in their national deals, I was asked to go to Louisville Christian Academy, which is the lab school of the ACE program, handle the entire music program, plus work on some geometry pieces. We went to Temple Baptist Church, which they also started a school because of the next year, and I became a member of that staff because of some doctrinal differences that ACE was heading towards, and our pastor would not bend. He stuck to his guns. He had tried to have a lot of pressure put upon him. But, well, why don't you? But he was a fantastic preacher of God's word, and we started our own school. From Temple, I had a chance to spend just a short time at Northland Baptist College, head of the music department, because that wasn't much, because I was the only one. Taught method courses, taught to preachers courses, not preaching, but in music. Private lessons, great thrill to have the Northern Lights, which is their representative team of choir to represent the school, 18 people. And from there, we went to Green Meadow in Kalamazoo. Sounds like, it doesn't sound any worse. I mean, probably Ventura sounds just as funny to them as Green Meadow does, you know, to us. That was the name of the area there. A Bible Baptist school, again, a tremendous school. And then in 1984, out of the blue comes this call from Calvary. It was actually to be the music director at the church and then do some music in the school. But from the time I got hired, 1 week later, the pastor had resigned. Well, I ended up, Kim Myring, some of you know, called me and said, you know, if you want to change your mind, go ahead. And I said, no, I think God called me to this job. It didn't help any when the pastor at Green Meadow on the last convocation I was playing piano for comes down and says, you can stay if you want to anytime you change your mind. The school closed the next year in the middle of the year. So God protected us from that again. And it was exciting. 1 year in Calvary, 1988, Pastor House left, Dr. House, and so the music man and the principal, they're considering closing the school. I went to one of the board members, which is Jack Severinson at the time, said, Jack, they can't close. We can't close that school, especially when you got kids in it, you think that way. And so I said, I'll handle the principalship for acting if you can keep that open, at least junior high and elementary. All our kids went to Freedom, that's where Kevin graduated from. He was a senior that year. But praise God, it's open now and it's running well. And from what I see of Calvary, they've got things put together a lot better because they've got kids there who care for others. And we had some, but not everybody. And so it was a great school. Taught there, taught until 1991. From then on, I worked a little bit at Lemon Fresh Dry Cleaners after I had stopped teaching after 31 and a half years. And let's see, kept on teaching lessons. I've been doing that for 55 years. or maybe 65. No, I can't be that. 55 to 58. And came to Ventura, fall of 2004. I'll be honest with you. That was the last church I would have ever wanted to come to. I mean, back from 19, from the beginning until then. I mean, I didn't want to come. I didn't want to leave Calvary, to be honest with you. But there was someone by the name of Ben Girth that might have helped me change my mind. And with Jeanette's pleading for Carol and me to come for the music program for organ and piano, we couldn't say no. And from the first time we had a finger food fellowship until this day, we've got the greatest bunch of people here that you'll ever meet. Carol might allude to this a little bit in what she's going to do, but some of you know we had a difficult time as a family. She said she's not going to cry, so I admitted it. But I never felt, well, so much that the day that this one thing happened, the next Wednesday, 2 days later, I did not want to come to church. Carol stayed home. I went to prayer meeting, and I told him what happened. Some of you know Jim Atwood. He was such a blessing to me that night. Ruthie doesn't even remember. I remember Ruthie coming up to me. I'm not sure if Wayne might have. I mean, I don't know. It's just, man, what love. So I just want you to know that. It's got to close one more thing. Then I'm going to, Carol's going to do this. Then I want to take just a couple minutes. Oh, man. To talk about, just it'll be real quick. When Ben left, I had more than one person come and say, now what are you going to do? I said, what do you mean, what am I going to do? I'm a member of Ventura Baptist Church. And I'm so, I mean, the thought of leaving never entered my mind. And then the way that the Spirit brought Pastor Timothy here and the growth we've seen, you know, numbers isn't everything, but it's nice to have people and to see the group of people that we got here. What a privilege. So anyway, I'll sit down and shut up. Sorry, girl. Oh, she went backward.
Well, just very quickly, Paul talks about the riches we have in Christ Jesus, and I just want to add to his list. I just feel so rich in all the Christian friends that we've made in all these churches. I just feel rich in that, plus all of you. And I ask, just so happy the Lord has used me along wherever he's been. They've needed a secretary and a Sunday school teacher. So that's kind of been my ministry. And I'm thankful. Pastor Timothy is the fifth pastor I've worked for. And I've just felt like part of the team, you know, in the church ministry. And I am just so glad that I had the opportunity to serve him in the ways that I have. And tell you the truth, it's generally been a really exciting life that we've had as a married couple. But, you know, we've had some really hard times during it. And tell you the truth, I'm not sure which one he's talking about. But our nephew did die in a school bus accident when a semi hit the Christian school bus. He was only 8 years old. Bob lost some jobs, and God always provided a new job. And my son, Brian, in his young adult life, had such severe headaches, he couldn't work. And we went through a lot of trouble then. And I just don't even want to mention this, but people get up here and they say, no, you should share. Kevin actually was put in jail, and I'll say it was for computer sins. He didn't really do anything. But I'll tell you, that was the hardest thing. I wanted to share a couple verses that really have, because I go to God's word when I have a problem. One verse I just put on our bathroom mirror, Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteous right hand. And that right hand has really meant a lot to me, because verses kept popping up, such as Psalm 16:8, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. And I just found a lot of verses that, although the Holy Spirit dwells within me, he's at my right hand, and his right hand is holding me up, you know? And the verse, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. And just a little quote from My Daily Bread that kind of sums this up. We can learn the lesson of trust in the school of trial. And then I want to say one blessing. It used to be that every time we walked in the house, on went the TV. Oh. Well, recently, it has changed. And we'll walk in the house, and Bob goes to his recliner, and he pulls out his Bible. And I don't know what all he's doing, but it's just so peaceful, and my heart is rejoicing. And he was going to share just a little bit of...
It'll be smaller than what it was going to be.
...of just how his excitement has been in studying God's word.
I'll make this short, I really will, because I've got a verb, but last year I went through, I read the Bible through, and here again, it's not me, it's God, through several times now in the past several years. But last year, and I want to preface it by saying, I can do this. Some of you can't do this because of your time. It's impossible. But I read the King James, Amplified, NIV, and the Living Bible last year. I read the first three in into November, and I wasn't gonna do four, but I said, well, at this rate, I can go on. So I did. And boy, do you grow. Man, do you grow. And I'm glad that Ben's here, because you people need to be in the Sunday school class. Now, maybe you've already gone through it. But in the hermeneutics class, because I noticed this before, but this is one of the tools that was brought forth. You see, you know what you ought to do? You ought to read a book at a time and read it. Well, I'm going to shock you maybe, but I read one day this past couple weeks ago the entire book of Leviticus in one day. And you know something? It's not hard reading, and it's not bad reading. It's not like Deuteronomy or someplace in Numbers. It's really not. And what it did for me, what that book did for me, was gave me a new realization. Well, we are living under grace now. How easy it is for us compared to them, and that they had a priest who was just of human hands. We got the high priest, God. We got his son, who's our mediator between us. I took a verse and I was going to read it out of the three different versions I'm using now, but I'm using that, and I'm using Dr. Jeremiah's NIV, New King James. I'm reading out of the Living Bible, the Amplified. The Amplified's like a thesaurus. I was going to read a verse to you. I'm not going to. I was going to take the verse in 1 Corinthians 10:13 and read it in all the different deals. But you should read the Amplified. Man, they got every adjective in there. But if you don't understand it, adult, something's wrong. And the New King James I'm using is Dr. Jeremiah's study Bible. There's a lot of good study Bibles out. I mean, I have confidence in Dr. Jeremiah's things. And then I'm reading, it's just a commentary. The scripture isn't even in it. I mean, as far as with scripture. It's just the commentary on the scriptures. So you have to have another Bible to go along with it. And the Old Testament one is that thick, and the New Testament about that thick. And my goal is to read the three versions and to read his entire commentary. Not as a checklist, although I must admit I do have a checklist, because if you didn't, you'd never make that. But what a joy. And I would amen Ben's comment about reading the Bible, reading a book straight through. You get the whole connotation. And if you do it in three different versions, you're reading it three times. It's just tremendous. So we praise God for this church. It's a wonderful place for us to come. We look forward to coming every Sunday. And whenever it's open.
Well, thank you, Bob and Carol, for sharing. Good. We're going to go off into the Finger Food Fellowship in just a moment, but just to remember even the verse that Carol brought up, and whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And we all have normal, everyday, ordinary lives. And God works through that, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do. And that God can work through sufferings from within, but also sufferings from without. And sometimes God enhances some of those in different ways and different people for his own purposes. But we can trust him. He's faithful. So let me pray for us before we go out and enjoy some food and some time together. And then after I pray, you can be dismissed. Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy to us. Thank you that you work through your children in various ways, gifts and abilities for your glory. We want Jesus Christ to be seen and savored above all. The only way that things can be done to your glory is because Jesus' blood has cleansed us. And you see us as your children as righteous. So God, I pray that we would be encouraged in Christ and rejoice in you and be spurred on to share your gospel with other people around us. Thank you for the food that you're giving to us, the profound ways, all the ways that you went about ordaining how we even get this food tonight. Father, you love us, but so much greater we see in Christ. So help us to rejoice in you. In Jesus' name, amen.